We are going to try and record this and just see how it goes. But it doesn't stop you from asking questions and all of that. In fact, you need to do that. There's a little register there for you, please. Yeah, okay, I'll try not to. if you've got a, have all of you got WhatsApp?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So can you put your WhatsApp number there so that I can send you some info? If you have an email address as well, then I can send you some educational flyers that go together with this. And you can start yourself a little folder. Okay, because I'm sure you'll find it really beneficial. And we run some free sessions each quarter, which you might like to join, because everything that you can learn at this early stage before you go into business is really critical to being successful. Okay, so if you've got an email, send it to me. If not, one of you must have to print for the others or something, or whatever. Just make it legible, eh? Legible.
Legible.
I'll have a look before you go.
What?
I didn't put any water out for you. Do you guys need?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let me take this off and go and see what I can find. Okay, guys. So until I get used to your names, Hunter, I know because we see you in that church. Start again for me.
Jason.
It's hard to see people's character. Ayrton.
Kyle.
Hunter. Ayrton. Jason. Okay, if I screw it up, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay, so now Michelle tells me that three of you are wanting to go into business together.
Yes.
So, what a wise thing and what a lovely opportunity for you guys to actually go through this session. This is usually a four-hour session, okay? So I'm giving you really an overview, but I'm going to ask you pertinent questions that I want you to start thinking. Sustainable business thinking, because it is all about the thinking. Life is about thinking. We win or lose by the way we choose. So decide right. That's the crux of life. Okay, so I want to... Oh, I'm not doing what I should be doing in Sharia or graph. I'm wanting you to become thinkers. Okay, not only for business, but also for life. Okay, you're hitting the life skills now, and you're hitting a very lovely part of life. So become a thinker. Okay. I know when you're young, you want to do this and you rebel a little bit, and you know, you party like my granddaughter parties till she drops and takes 5 days to recover. And okay, Everybody has that, but move on. Okay, the quicker you move on, the more successful you're going to be. It doesn't feel like it when you're young, but it's the truth. Okay, so we're talking about sustainable business thinking. It is all about the thinking. There are things to think about on a constant basis in business. There's things to think about on a constant basis in life. And the thing that helps us to settle ourselves and learn about thinking is this piece by a man that was written in the late 1800s, actually. Charles Swindoll, early 1900s. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have the choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10%, only 10%, of what happens to me, and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. We're in charge of our behavior. We're in charge of the way we think. We're in charge of all these things that will make a difference in your life. Okay, I'm going to send this to you by mail in a PDF format so that you can refresh your memories. Share it with your friends, okay? And let's hopefully get a good group going and develop you guys nicely. Okay, so attitude is important. So if you haven't come here today to learn, sorry for you, because you're not going to learn. Doesn't matter that I'm going to talk to you. You've got to have come with the right heart and the right attitude and the right mind to be able to receive what I'm going to give you. Okay, so are we all on board here? Or are we... You're on board.
We have a thinking attitude.
Good. Love that. Okay, so now if we get into the workplace, and you need to understand I'm going to be talking a bit about if you were an employee or one of the staff members or you were the owner. I'm combining the two for you. Okay, so the work family. If you don't know who the work family is, you're lost. Because the work family is actually what tells us who's responsible for what. Okay, so if we have an owner of the business, what are they accountable for?
Everyone.
Everything and everybody. All right, so it's a shocker. It's a shocker.
Like
having
that.
Your own business is not for sissies. Okay, and there's going to be times that you're going to feel like, why did I ever do this? And there's going to be times when you're going to be flying high. Hopefully in both times you'll be thinking well. Okay, not only in the good times. All right, so the work family is the status of the people in the organization. You have the owner or owners, and you have, if you're big enough, managers and supervisors. You will have somebody worrying about your financial side of things. If you're big, you would get an accountant. If you're smaller, you would have a bookkeeper. You would have the workers under you, whether they're in the office or whatever it is that you're going to be doing, which brings me to the point. What are you going to be doing?
We're doing fabrication, blacksmithing, and all of that. So making the house, fences and stuff, and then also going fabrication like trailers and stuff like that.
Excellent. I think there's quite a scope for that. That's lovely. So your planning is...
Both sets of people, the artistic and
the your planning is very important now. It's very good to have a mix of people. A lot of businesses allow the finance department to run the scene, and then we have a failure. because finance knows nothing about business. They only know about finance. Then we've always got to have a creative side, because they're the ones that bring the customer in with your marketing and your showing and your telling and all of those things. And then you've got to have a business side, somebody who's business orientated that understands how a business actually operates. Ideally, if you all three of you grasp the sustainable business thinking outside of your field of expertise, that's where you want to be. That's the space you want to be. Okay, so the work family is really important. You need to know where they stand. They need to know where they stand. I'm going to ask you a few questions on that a little bit later when we start talking about the roles and responsibilities of the owner of the business. Okay, but this is number one. If people don't know where they belong in the organization, it has a lot of problems. Anybody have an idea of what kind of problems?
Don't know where you fit in the group dynamics.
Yeah, explain it a bit, roll it out a little bit for me, your thinking.
Just asking if that's the thought process we're going with. If you don't know where you're fitting, how that can cause a problem.
Yes.
Okay.
So roll that out a little bit. What you've said is correct.
If you don't know your position...
In the dynamics of the... That's a wonderful word.
If you don't know your position in the dynamic of the whole... battle to find your specific role, which performs subpar on your behalf and kind of let the whole team down as a result.
Absolutely. I like the thinking. Very good thinking. That's exactly what happens when people don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And there's ways and means to actually get people to know what they're supposed to be doing, and one of them is giving them a title. Okay. I don't know if you've heard of this flatline. A flatline family tree. How can you have a flatline family tree?
Everyone's...
Where's the accountability?
No way.
Where's the authority?
Doesn't exist.
Well, actually it does. Because whether you flatline or you like that, somebody is accountable at the end of the day for everything. So there is no such thing as a flatline. When you're flatlining, people come to have an argument with you, there is no such thing, because somebody somewhere is taking the responsibility and the accountability. You understand that? Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. So it's a load of rubbish, absolute load of rubbish. So we have a family tree, and we have a family tree for a purpose. The leader of the family tree is the one with the knowledge and the expertise and the understanding and the responsibility and the authority. That's the purpose. As we go down, the authority and the responsibility gets less, okay, until we get to the worker, who is really just a worker. Okay, they're doing what they're told, when they're told, and how they're told, basically. All right. So the family tree is important. And don't, even when there's just the three of you, that's the family tree. Even if you are sitting at the same level at this beginning stage, you're all directors. There we go. That's a nice word for you. You're all directors and you're all on the same level. But when you start coming down, it's finance director, general manager or managing director. And then whatever you said you're doing, what are you doing? Creative.
He does the design.
Oh, you're the creative one. Okay, so there we are. We'll have engineer or creativity or whatever you want to call it. The words you want to use is irrelevant, as long as they say what the person is doing. Okay, so if I'm new to an organization, I would say, where's the organogram? The big word for that is the organogram. Okay, where's the organogram of this organization? Because I want to see now where I fit in. I want to see who's above me, who's below me, what their functions are. Because if I've got a problem, where am I going to go? I'll go to my immediate boss, okay, or I will go to the relevant person whose portfolio it is to handle. Okay, so you can't afford any gray areas in your family tree at all. Your organogram must be good. And it is a document that you will be updating on a constant basis. It's a working, what we call a working document. It's a document that will upgrade. As you employ somebody, douche, they go on the family tree in the right place.
Do you have to make that document?
Yes.
In physical?
Yes, you can have it electronically. As long as people can read it somewhere in your library, your electronic library, digital library, not a problem. Okay, it doesn't have to be printed out and all of that. We want to save the trees, says she, who's a big printer. But anyway, it's my line of work is sometimes I have to print out because I need to draw on there as I'm working with somebody so that they can get the picture. So the family tree is important. People need to know where they stand. They need to know where to go for help. They need to know where their authority and responsibility lies, and it all starts with the family tree. Now, the family tree, if you take a step back a little bit, when you start recruiting, you're already looking on that family tree where this person's going to fit in. Okay. You identify a need that says we need a... Come on, you guys, give me something. A welder. Okay, we need a welder. So we're going to now advertise for a welder, and we're going to do it the right way. Before we even do our advert, our recruiting policy tells us that we need to have this age person because that's the safe age. They need to have these certificates or this type of skill. We're going to offer it, put out an advert internally and externally, whatever the criteria of for your recruitment process, okay, which must be fair and law-abiding.
The recruiting policy, is that just business-dependent or is there a statement for it?
There's a generic. Okay. There is a generic. There are certain things that need to be in the policy. But basically, a policy is deciding what your values are and how you're going to achieve them in that particular topic. So if I'm talking HR, human resources, I'm talking recruitment policy, I'm talking about job description, I'm talking about focus tool, I'm talking about processes and procedures, I'm talking about leave, I'm talking about study leave, I'm talking about no smoking, I'm talking about HIV AIDS, I'm talking about COVID now, all HR related. So you might have a number of little policies. I don't want you to have this thought that a policy is a very big thing in your, and it has to be done by a lawyer. Okay? It doesn't. As long as you cover and care about people, you will cover what needs to be covered. All right. And you've got the whole internet available to you. The government, South African government website is a lovely website, and it gives you all the documents that you need to know, all the laws that you need to know. Okay.
Website address.
It says southafrica.gov.za. If not, I can give it to you. It's not a problem. Yeah. So the thing is, you won't know all these laws and all of that now, but you've got to do some research. You've got to make sure, ask people who know. But just think about it. Now, that's where the thinking starts is. Our policy needs to cover what? It needs to cover points on how we want to work in this organization. Okay. It needs to cover the law. So where are you going to go for that? You're going to go to the Acts, the Company Acts, the Department of Labor Act. You're going to go to the Conditions of Employment Act. You're going to go to whatever act is applicable, Occupational Health and Safety. You're going to go to that act, okay? But do a little bit of research on the thinking behind the policy. What's its purpose? How to draw one up? There's plenty of templates, plenty of examples. You need to just find one that's going to suit your type of work or your organization. Okay, but generically speaking, if you care about people, you're going to want to do it right, aren't you? And I do hope you are going to be caring business people. Because if you're not, you're going to flop. People are going to become a number, and all you're going to do is become a really ugly person with lots of wealth. And you want to avoid that. You can have lots of wealth by being a kind person too. Okay, so care, that's the important thing. So your policy would define, let's in this case, like we were talking, your recruitment. Okay, how are we going to recruit? What factors do we need to know about this person to establish that they are the right person for this job? Okay. And you'll be easily able to do that because you've already identified you've got a shortage. How do we identify there's a shortage?
Lack of efficiency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mistakes being made, long hours, too much overtime, no family life. Diddly-diddly, there's millions of them. Okay. So you've identified the problem, so you should be able to put a job description in place and say, this person needs to do this. That's what we want them to do. And then you develop the other tools that go behind that. But in your recruitment process, you're already saying, this is the type of person we need. They need to fit into our ethos of our organization, how the values of our organization. Okay, no good. If you are, I'm trying to think of an industry, a lawyer industry is a very... type industry. Okay, you got the picture. So if I came along there and I was like really loud and I talked and I laughed all day, am I going to fit in the lawyer ethos, in the lawyer environment? I'm not. So you need to be able to define that in your recruitment policy, that what type of person you're looking for. And you're not allowed to define in your policy black, white, pink or yellow. It's people. People are people. Okay, and you must keep that in mind forever. People are people. Regardless of their color or their religion or their creed or whatever. Okay. Yeah, they're people. They're humans. That's what I said today. I'm so excited. This is my first human class I've had for this year. And I'm like, yay, you know. Because so Cherie said to me, so what are the ones that you're Zooming with? And I said, they Zoom humans. They're not human humans. They Zoom humans. And she found that a bit funny. Anyway. Okay, so just getting off now, moving on to the next thing. Your family tree is important. Why?
Because it defines.
Yeah. It defines. Okay, it defines. Then there's no gray areas. All right. You can't have one person and two bosses. That there will be divided loyalties and you're going to screw up.
Could you define without labels?
No. Because what are you going to call them? Number one or number two?
Definition, not labels.
Give me an example.
Well, this person works with metal and specific, but no general metals. Just they weld, they...
Then you call them a general metal worker.
Okay, but then that is a label.
That's a label. Yeah. How do they... I go to... Now, just let's get back to human, okay, in the real world. I go to the bank, that's my first time at work, I go to the bank and I'm going to open up an account. Where do you work? I work at Sean Cade Training and Consulting. What do you do?
I work with money.
Work with money. And the bank's going to say, what do you do with the money? Well, I work with the petty cash. And it'll just keep on going and what until they come to a title, because they've got to put a title on their form. The form demands it. Okay. But also, how would you like to be known as a person working with metal when I could be a metal worker? Much nicer. Doesn't it nicer sounding?
It does simplify.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Of course it does. And in communication, the shorter and simpler, the better. Okay.
Back into when you said that you can't have one person with two bosses. Now, since we all three in partnership, do we have to have like different labels on top of that?
Yes. And you are going to have.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have finance. You're going to have creativity, maybe in two parts. But you're going to have maybe general manager because he's got business skills.
Salesman.
Or sales or whatever. Okay. All right. You might overlap in certain activities. Definitely. There's no problem with that. But you need to define your role. Otherwise, you don't know what it is you're actually supposed to be responsible for and accountable for. All three of you are accountable for the whole thing, working. That whole thing is not going to work unless you three know what it is you're supposed to be doing. And you are not all going to be doing the same business. And to start off, you'll probably get one little girl Friday, and she's going to be answerable to all of you. Okay, but she's going to be answerable with a focus tool, which is a tool that you put in place for people to define their jobs, the timeline that they're supposed to do those jobs. In your case now with Girl Friday, who they're reporting to for those specific jobs. Okay. So there's a way around it. Okay, but ultimately, in the big picture, you have got somebody that is going to run the finances. You've got somebody who's going to do your sales and marketing. You've got, but we're coming to those things now. Okay, I'm just trying to get you the picture of the family tree, how important it is. And people neglect it so much. You can walk into 97% of organizations and say, show me your family tree, and they'll show you one that's 10 years old. They've worked from 80 people to 300 people, and dush, that's it. It's a mess. And with that comes all the problems, inefficiencies, and all the other stuff that comes together.
So family tree is always changing.
I told you it's a working document. Okay, a working document is one that gets changed on a regular basis. Okay, so ideally, as soon as you add a person to your organization, they get put on the chart.
Will that be HR's job?
Usually, but you're not going to get there for a while, so you start doing it yourself. I want you to please understand, guys, that you're going to be doing a lot of these things yourself to begin with. So do them right from the start.
Yeah.
And I can help you get organized to do that right from the start. Okay, we can show you how to set up your folders and on your computer and how to departmentalize and all of those things, because all those things are going to save you money. And what is time is money. So the longer you're spending on doing paperwork, the less you're going to be spending doing your core business. Okay, and you don't want that. All right. Happy? Any questions?
No.
Right. So what is this? What do you see in this picture?
You have to have money to get money.
Sorry?
You have to have money to get money.
Okay. No. I don't. In a way, I agree with that, and in a way, I don't. Okay. What is this? What is this picture telling you?
That it's going to cost a lot.
I want you to think, and I want you to pay attention to the detail.
Is it not minimizing expenses?
Sorry?
Is it not minimizing expenses?
Well, yeah, good way of putting it. Good way of putting it. Okay. Nicely observed. This, my man, my little men, this is sustainable business. The money in must be bigger than the money out on a constant basis. Okay.
The money you've put in. And what
no, the money you put in stays as your shares. It's got nothing to do with your daily. It only affects the end of year books when the accountant does them. It doesn't affect your daily running. Unless you're running short of money and you're prepared to put money in again, then it will. Okay, but that always remains your share in the organization. Okay, so this is, we are talking sustainable business. What do we need to keep this business sustainable? We need money in to be bigger than money out on a consistent basis. All the time. That's what consistent means. All the time. Okay, does that make sense? Right, what happens if you don't achieve that? I want you to roll out. Stop giving short answers and say what you're thinking. You've had that thought process to bring it to that. I want you to explain that now.
Shortening your own pocket for a dying business.
Okay, let's talk around this a bit. The money in is for a purpose, to keep you sustainable. Okay, so what is the money used for?
Salaries and keep getting all the materials that we've used up.
Absolutely, keep going. Okay. So the money in that we are getting has a purpose. It's going to be paying what you're spending, what you're buying, what you're purchasing, what you're developing, what you're growing. It's going to be doing all of those things, what you're saving, because you're going to be saving from the start. Okay. So your money in needs to be bigger and your money out smaller on a consistent basis to avoid having to retrench people, to avoid having to scale down your business, to avoid a cash flow problem. Okay, your business might be very viable, but if you don't have the cash flow, the day-to-day money, the loose money that buys you these things, you're going to go out of business. And believe me, I have been this is the 12th year in this business training. I come out of a corporate. I come out of Barloworld Logistics. It was 44 years was my career in freight forwarding. And I started this training organization, and we've been going 12 years. COVID hit last year. Prior to that, Cherie had a life experience, which hit the family. And those two things coupled together found us in a very, very bad spot. Okay, not a chosen spot. Not a spot because I didn't manage my risk. Okay, not a spot that I didn't manage my cost. It's happened. Who could have said that COVID was going to come and what an impact it would have? So Cherie and I, because Cherie's in the business with me, we've had to regroup, and in regrouping, we decided the best way to do it is to go online with our training. Okay. Now, I don't know if you can conceive the idea of changing your whole business around, okay, and going online. The volume of work for doing that. I don't know if you can just imagine it even. Okay, but it's humongous. And we've got a lot online already. We're just about to launch our new website. We have a teachable platform. We've been doing Zoom sessions. And we've struggled. Okay. It's had to be. But we've been innovative, we've been creative. I'm a Christian, we are Christians, and the Lord's been keeping us and helping us. But we've regrouped. We've changed the direction. It doesn't mean to say we've given up the one-on-ones, okay? We haven't. But right now, our focus has been on the digital world, because that's the way of the world. So, for me, the business is not sustainable right now. Okay. The business would never have been sustainable before Cherie came to me anyway, because I was a one person. So when I died, that's the end of that business. So it wouldn't be sustainable anyway because of that factor. Do you understand? But then Cherie came in, so now the business is sustainable. She has the skills to do what I do. I have the skills to do most of what she does. She's an environmentalist. I can't do anything of her stuff, but she can do a lot of mine. Okay, so she would be sustainable. She would be able to continue going. All right. So the money in and the money out is critical, and you need to manage it every single day. Okay. When you're going to purchase something, you three, and that's another policy you would have, deciding on when you're purchasing, what are the criteria before you make the decision? For instance, 3 quotes before the job is done. I'm talking big money now. I'm not talking everyday little, go to the shop and get your milk for tea. I'm talking big money, okay? So you need to have a policy in place for that. All right, so sustainable business is hard. It's hard work. You have lots of things to do. There's lots of things that have got to be coordinated at one time to make it happen. So it is a challenge, but it's wonderful. When it comes off, it's awesome. So now I want to show you the components of business. All right. Every business has to have a person who owns it, or a board of directors or shareholders, whatever you want to call them. Okay, that's a fact. Can't get away from it. It's not a business if it doesn't have that. Every business has to have money. Money to start and money to run. So if you don't have the money to start yourselves, you have to borrow from the bank, New business will be hard to get money from the bank right now, so you'd have to tap your parents or tap your aunts and uncles or your grannies and grandpas and relatives and friends, whatever, okay? But you're going to need money to start. If you're going to borrow, there's a payback with interest, so you're at a little bit of a disadvantage already, okay? And you need to be concerned about that because you don't want to go backwards all the time. You need to be able to see your way forward. You need to be growing every single month, okay? Then you've got to have some kind of facilities. You're going to do all this structural stuff and all of that. You can't do that in your bedroom or your bathroom. Okay. Can't do it in the kitchen. So you're going to need somewhere to do that. And that's going to cost you money. All right? Or if you're lucky, maybe not. On the farm, there's a spot and you can, lucky you, take the advantage. You are sitting very nice. If you've got a place to go without rent. All right. But my advice to you is start putting aside what you would pay for rent or even half of it. Put it into investment, get savings, get investing, grow. The sooner you invest, the quicker your money grows for you. I made that big mistake. I had a cushy job. I was comfortable. I was a senior manager and I had bucks and everything that I wanted, but I did not invest. My husband invested, and he can retire now. I didn't invest, and I can't retire yet.
With investing,
I probably won't be able to retire anyway, at my rate.
With investing, do you like me to invest in other businesses?
Now, that's a topic on its own. Okay. Go and do a little bit of research and come back. Let's talk.
Okay.
Because investing, you can start off small. There's small little accounts like a 32-day call account, 1,000 rand. That's all they want. Okay, but if you want that 1,000 rand back, you have to give them 32 days notice. So that you grow that till you get to 10,000. Because 10,000 is where you start to get a better interest. And then you move that product to something better that's going to give you a higher interest. And you keep growing until you're investing in Amazon at the moment.
Then with like a 32 day, can you get that at a bank? Or do you have to go like the, I forgot the name of the place, but the... There's another place down here that does deals with that, where my aunt's got a saving account for me.
You know what? All I can say is that you need to be very wise with investing and invest with credible organizations. Credible organizations that are known. Okay. Now, we were just talking about it in the car today. Discovery Bank is, they offer you stuff back, and no other bank offers you that. They're worth looking into. Okay, but don't be in a quick mode. Don't be in a rush to do everything at one time. Think about it. Talk about it. Ask people. Ask business people. Your Michelle works for Kerry. He is a brilliant owner. He is a brilliant owner. Quiz him. Say, can I have a chat with you? I want to start my own business. What are the tips that you can give me? And ask him that kind of thing. When do I start investing and how do I invest? And so get talking, get asking. Okay, I'm giving you this. This is the platform for you to build on, to start asking the questions and to start going out there and gaining your own knowledge. And try and learn as much as possible from experiences that people have already had. And don't make those terrible things yourself, if you can. We're human and we're very slow to learn from other people's mistakes. But I'll get on my knee and ask you, please learn from other people's mistakes. Okay. So anything that you're going to do in business, you need to work with credible people. Okay. If the rule of thumb is, if it's too good to be true, generally
probably
it's true. It's too good to be true. Don't be taken for the ride. Okay. You've got all the tools available to you on the internet to start searching, looking, checking, check websites, ask questions, get reference numbers, get whatever. Just do it. Don't just rush into something. Okay. All right. So you're going to need facilities. Lucky you, going to be rent-free. Services and products. You've got to have something to sell. Either you're selling a service like I do, sell training, or skills development, and you're going to sell all your beautiful stuff. Okay. Then you've got to have equipment and resources. And I've separated the resources between human resources and resources like vehicles and cell phones and computers and machines to bend your wire and the welding machine and whatever it is that you're going to be needing. Okay? Then you're going to have a team. The moment it'll be the three of you and you'll be multitasking quite a bit. All right? Is there such a thing as multitasking?
Not effectively.
Exactly. It's a funny word that we use, multitasking. What it means is that we are capable of doing many jobs, but we can't multitask, because multitask means you're doing lots of things at one time. But you've always got to stop and start something. So you never have a multitask scenario. So, interesting. All right, so then you've got to have a team. You've got to have some kind of marketing going on, a nice Instagram page or a little videos for TikTok or, I don't know, a Twitter or a whatever you have, okay? We stick to LinkedIn, wonderful platform for business, for businesses, business owners. We stick to Instagram, and we have a, are you all right? Cough. Cough if you need to cough, for goodness sake.
Thank you. Who won't judge?
Okay, so we stick to Facebook. We've got a business Facebook page. It's we just do it for the older generation, because some of our people that we work with are the older generation, because they don't understand the younger generation. So, and then Instagram has been good for us, and LinkedIn is good for us. There's no nicer thing than referrals. Okay, one customer, a very happy customer, telling another person, oh, no, you know what? Hunter does this really great thing. Oh, you've got to go to him. He's the best. That's where you want to be. Okay. And then you've got to have clients who come from your marketing. All right. And then your clients bring the money in, or your customers bring the money in, and then you've got to pay money out, unfortunately. Now, the three things in the red circle that keep things together, keep this whole sustainable business going, is the documentation, and you can't get away from it, whether it's manual or electronic. There will always be documentation. You're going to have invoices. You're going to have delivery notes. You're going to have accounts reports at the end of the month, and then you're going to have financials done at the end of the year. You're going to have employment contracts. Even you three are going to have a contract, and so on and so forth. So there's always documents involved. Then communication. What is communication? I just asked you the word. What is communication?
The giving and receiving of information.
Absolutely, yes. But you've left off the most important thing.
Understanding.
Mutual understanding. Okay, communication is passing information, ensuring that mutual understanding has been achieved. I'll give you a very good example. The other day, Cherie gave me some papers, and she said we were in a Zoom session. We're going into a Zoom session, and she said, oh, I forgot, please just give these papers to Brian and tell him when Angus comes to please give them to him. Okay, so I said, okay, so I went to Brian. I said, when Angus comes, give him these papers, just brought out. Meanwhile, Angus was actually supposed to come in and do the test on those papers while we were Zooming. Okay, poor communication, bad. Right, shared meaning was not achieved the whole way through, from beginning to end. And to make it worse, Angus didn't say, oh, well, I'm supposed to come in there and write my test. And then that would have shown some light, and Brian would have opened up and said, okay, well, come on in, you know. Angus went away, went home, the house was locked, so he couldn't get in, so he went to Grapevine and had a drink, and a mess, a total mess, for one simple statement. When Angus comes, please give him these papers. You understand? Okay, so communication needs to be strong. You need to make sure that shared meaning has been achieved. All right, always. Between each other, between you and the staff, between staff and staff, between service providers and you, everybody, everywhere. Never assume. You know what assume stands for, hey? Making an ass out of you and me. All right. Okay, then obeying the law. You don't want to not obey the law. The minute you don't obey the law, there's a penalty. It could be a monetary penalty that will put you out of business. It could be an integral penalty that will hinder your business from growing. There's lots of penalties that happen if you don't obey the law. And that doesn't mean whether we like the government or we don't like the government. The government laws say in this country that you will have occupational health and safety rules and regulations in place. And this is what they've got to be. So the minute you start using the welder and your welder gets burned and he's got to go to hospital, they're going to say, okay, what's your workman's compensation number? And because you're not obeying the law, what's going to happen?
Penalties.
You're going to have to pay. And if he's going to have his arm amputated because it goes septic, you're going to be paying again. And if he dies down the line, you'll be paying again. That's how it goes. Don't not obey the law.
So because we've just started, what I'm basically, is it okay, because what I'm planning to do is put aside money for anything that medical, like problems that happen, until we've grown so I can get a company medical aid. Is that...
Well, no, I wouldn't go that route. Why do you want to wait?
For money?
Just find yourself a little hospital plan that's going to cost you $200 a month in the meantime. Then when you develop from that, now we're thinking. Okay, we're not thinking. You're doing it just because they've been doing it forever. Start thinking. What's a better way to do it? Is this the biggest value we can get where we stand right now? Okay.
Get a hospital plan at 18.
You can get a hospital plan. Santa Bank's got a hospital plan for like, my husband pays like 250 rand a month. Okay, so at least it's better than nothing. Okay. Then you find yourself in a situation where you can't have a full plan. Okay, I'm not saying don't put money aside for incidentals. You need to. Okay, you've got these guys. You've got to save as much as you can, where you can, and start investing. That's the best. My daughter-in-law, the day she matriculated, her uncle told her, her dad had died when she was young, and her uncle said, Eloise, when the minute you have your first job, doesn't matter what it is, you start putting 10% of what you earned in the bank. My daughter-in-law could retire at 40. She has millions from doing that. She's a chemical engineer, so she gets paid well to begin with, but that's not the point. The point is when she was waitressing, that's what she did, 10%. She sacrificed the ice cream and had the 10%. Okay, you need to start getting a keeping money, not a Scrooge keeping money. You know Scrooge? Okay, not a Scrooge keeping money. You've got to start forming a culture of retaining money for the bigger purpose. Okay, right now, while you're still young. Right, so you don't want to not obey the law. And then you've got your yellow dot, which is your competitors. You can't afford to neglect them. So you must have to now scout around and see how many people are doing what you're doing. Who are they? How successful are they? Where are they? What adverts are you seeing? What adverts are theirs are really good ones? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how do we start seeing all those things?
Networking.
Networking. How do we start seeing all those things? Researching. Sean K. Training and Consulting. Oh, she's got 900 followers. She's doing something right. Let me look at her ads. Okay? I do that. I do that on a variety of industries for one reason only, that I can watch trends for our training. So if I see people adverts saying this and that and that, I'm thinking, oh, people are struggling with that. We need to come up with a solution for them. You understand? So I'm watching the trends, I'm looking, I'm Googling, I'm networking, I'm asking people, have you heard about Chantay training? Yeah, we have. Well, what have you heard? Are they good? Are they reliable? Are they cost effective? Those are the questions that people are going to ask. Okay, so worry about your competitors. You've got to be out there. Most of your competitors in your line, they are going to be market people. Okay, so what markets are available? Where can you go and look at their stuff? Is your stuff better than theirs? Is your stuff at the right value? Should you be selling it a bit more since they're selling successfully? You won't be able to answer all those questions if you don't take note of the competitors. You know what they say? You must keep your enemies close to you. Okay, why do they say that? So that you know what they're thinking about. Exactly, okay. But you keep your competitors even closer. Okay, you want to know what they're thinking, breathing, doing, saying all the time. Because you actually want to take your customers to where your competitors have never been. Write that down. You want to take your customers to where your competitors have never been. Okay, and then if you can get all of that together, working well, without too many glitches, you're always going to have some glitch somewhere. You're going to have profit to grow. Okay, so this chart, I want you to put it in your heart. I want you to learn it off by heart. I want you to close your eyes and know exactly. Number one is owners or shareholders. Number two is money. Number three is facilities. And I want you to know it because that's what's going to guide you and to keep your foundation solid. This minute you lose focus of one of those things, you're going to find yourself taking a dive of some sort. These things have to balance. So you have to give them the right amount of tension all the time to get them to work for you. Okay, any questions? So now, if we go back to the family tree, this is what the owners do. The owners have big eyes, and they observe, and they observe, and they observe, and they observe. And they pay attention to detail all the time. That's their big responsibility. That's their accountability. Okay. So they have to take care of all the components that we've looked at in the previous slide. The money, the facilities, the resources, the product, the marketing, the customers, the money in, the money out, the documentation, the compliance, the communication, worrying about the competitors. They are doing all of those things all of the time. It's a huge responsibility. Okay, it's a very big responsibility. When I'm dealing with general workers, funnily enough, because we do this a similar course in Zulu as well, and they say to me, but you know, the boss, he doesn't pay me enough. So I say, how much are you getting? And usually I've never found one that's been below the legal level. Okay, not in my years. But they generally are getting quite a bit of money. And I'd say to them, you know, okay, I hear you. And then they whine about, he's driving an expensive car or he's got a this or he's got a that, you know. And yeah, we want to increase. And then I start saying to them, okay, this is what they're responsible for. Now you look at a workforce of, say, 50 people. You're not only the responsibility of those 50 people as an owner. You are actually supporting, let's just call it conservatively, 6 other people. So you're supporting 300 people from that one person's job or those 50 people's jobs. You understand? That's the responsibility. It's not just this person that's working for you. It's bigger than that. Why is it bigger than that? Because you're a caring person. Okay. You've got to keep your workers happy so that they can feed their people and give you what you need. Okay, it's not to say you're feeding their people. You're supporting them by giving them that job. All right. So you need to understand that. Then I say to them, you know what? If you look at what the owner is responsible for and accountable for you to have a job, then as far as I'm concerned, they can ride the flashy car. Okay. You think about the sawmills up the road. They're my customer, have been for 7 years. They grew from the very first sustainable business thinking session of 80 people, they grew to 300 in the space of a couple of years. And that salary bill or wage bill is hundreds of thousands for 300 people. Okay? That's a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. If he wants to ride around in a cool car that's got aircon and everything that he needs, he feels he needs to be happy, he can have it. I would rather he have that than to sit with the worry of, sure, the income, has it been enough to pay all our bills this month? What are we going to have to not pay this month to be able to pay the salaries? And it's happened. COVID's brought about all those things. Okay. So the owner's responsibility is big. And what I'm saying there is, without owners, there would be no business. The owner's responsibilities are very big. Respect this and give them the support they need to make the business sustainable. Okay, so when you start your business and you start employing people, you're going to call me and you say, Sean, sustainable business thinking we need for our staff so that they can get on the same page as you and you don't have all the union problems that everybody has, because they don't understand how business works.
So you do suggest that, let's say now we've grown into the company, that let's say we employ 10 more people. You do suggest that they come for a course to understand it.
Yes, but not only them, you too.
As well.
Yes, because now you're showing commitment. You're not just saying you've got to go and learn something. You're saying we're going to show you something of value. You know what? Our philosophy is to have informed people working for you. So informed is not sending somebody on an Excel course because you've got spending money in the budget for training and they're never going to use it because they actually use the welder. That's not. That is for skills development if you're going to grow them into an office job. Okay? So your training needs to be appropriate. All right, but what I'm saying with sustainable business thinking is how can you expect them to understand your business if you don't explain to them how a business operates? Where do our workers come from? Mainly, I'm talking our general workers. Exactly. So you know what we do? We bring them in. This program, this sustainable business thinking program, came about because of the sawmills. I was there one day and the owner said to me, Sean, this is what makes me so cross. Come here, let me show you. So I go to the window and he said, you see those two sitting there? They're sitting there because that's broken. But they could be over there doing that. So I said, oh, now I know how to help you. Okay. How do they know? Did you tell them that they could go and be doing that whilst they're waiting there? He said, no, they should know. I said, how do they know that? Have they been exposed to production? Have they been exposed to how this whole job works, each little mechanism that goes along that comes the end product, the supply chain? Have they been exposed to that? Have they? No, they haven't. So how do we expect them to do it? It's so unfair. Give them the tools to be able to do the job. And it starts with understanding how a business operates. If they can understand that this money has to come in from the product that they are making to pay the bills, their salaries, the taxes, everything else, when they understand that, you're going to have a lot less of, I want to increase. Can you understand that? Get them on the same page. You want them on the same page. You want everybody on the same page. It doesn't matter what level it is. You start a new manager, Dush, sustainable business thinking with Sean, one-on-one session. Okay. But you start with your workers with a, you committed. I'm coming with you. I'm going to show you. You're going to learn something so nice today. You're going to really understand how this business works. You've got nothing to hide. Your business needs to be visible. Okay. Good. Then the next one is the management team. What's their roles and responsibilities? It's actually the same as the directors, just in a mini way. Okay. They won't have the authority to sign off for big money. They won't have the authority to make decisions that will affect the company without having the discussion and the sign-off. Okay? But they are still have a budget to work to. Okay? This is your department. You're buying the raw materials. You run the stores. That's the budget to work to. This, they will still be worrying about the environment. Okay? Is it a healthy environment for the workers? Is whatever. They will still be worrying about teamwork. They will still be worrying about the operational side of things. How does our product get made? Okay, is it working well? Are we practicing a lean program? There's a word for you. Go and research it. Okay, lean, L-E-A-N. And then they will still be looking at risk. They will still be managing cost. They're going to be doing everything just about that the hierarchy are doing, but within their realm of authority. Okay, the same goes for your supervisors. Your supervisors is a little step down from the manager because the supervisor generally is still doing work as well. Although they're supervising the team, they are still doing the work. The managers today are managers not good. I was going to say something a lot worse. Because they find themselves doing the job instead of managing. Okay, it's not the manager's job to do the job. The manager's job is to see that the job is done. You understand the difference? Can you see the difference? Okay. So they are also decision makers, and you need to respect that position. Now, you can't get your workers to respect that position until they understand their responsibilities and the accountability that the manager or supervisor has. Is it coming together for you guys?
Yes.
Okay. Then money, we need money in. Cash flow is critical. You've got to make sure that you have enough money in to do your expenses every month and you have enough money for incidentals. All right, so with your money, you would be having a budget. A budget is an estimate of what you're going to be getting money in and an estimate about what you're going to be spending each month. So you would set up your budget for a year. Okay. You would know your static or your items that don't change, your rent, your electricity, your water, whatever. Those things don't change. And then you would know your salaries. You would know how much you want to put for occupational health and safety equipment. You'll have this little budget set up. Okay. Then at the end of the month, when you've done your month, you've done your sales, all your sales are in, your money's in, you will go there and you'll put on the second line the actual. And you will compare what you budgeted against your actual. And that's going to be your measurement tool that's telling you, oh, we're getting in a bad spot. What are we going to do about it? Okay. Or we're in a great spot. What are we going to do about it? Bad spot or great spot, we've still got responsibilities. Great spot, we're going to invest. Bad spot, we're going to have to do something else.
Now, with the budget, do you suggest doing only an annual or like a monthly and an annual?
You need to sit once a year, normally, and discuss what you're going to do for that year on all the topics, on everything. You have a strategic session. Usually, directors take a few days out, they go somewhere, and they talk about the whole business, every department. Okay, just hang on one second, keep the question. But on a monthly basis, they're managing their decision by the budget or by reports or by HR reports, whatever. They've got measurement tools. You've always got to measure something against them. Business is about measuring. Okay, so you would have a strategic planning session, and in that strategic planning session, it might even take you to 5 years and say, we've got a long-term budget that we want to. In 5 years' time, we want to have so many welding machines. We want to have a lunchroom, we want to have whatever it is that you feel is necessary, or goals, or a wish list. Okay, but you're planning for that for 5 years down the line.
As a newer business, since if you don't know what your sales are going to be for like the month or the year, should you rather set a target or a prediction?
Well, you're going to have to do a bit of both, actually, okay? So in their instance, they've got to find a market first. I'm not talking about a flea market. I'm talking about you've got to find people to buy your stuff, okay? So they're going to decide that, okay, if we do 2 markets in a month, we estimate that we can sell 5 pot plant stands at this value, which is going to bring us that. We estimate we're going to sell 5 braai things, and that's going to sell us that. They bring in that money, so they will have this little list, and that bulk will say, okay, so for January, we're attending 2 markets, and we're going to be able to pay our bills to begin with, okay, or whatever the case may be. Then at the end of January, they see, okay, actually, we did a lot better. Okay, we sold 20 braai things, they were like really so popular, we can put something away. So we'll do that. Okay, it's this juggling all the time. But you can't juggle if you can't see it. So the budget is the place to see it. So you having your budget line, how you've worked to that budget line is important, how you get to those figures. For instance, we can know if we have so many Zoom sessions on this topic, we would probably get 10 people per Zoom session. They're paying so much money. So, you know, and that's how we work our things to work to a target. So salespeople need targets. You need targets. You need something to reach. Okay. But your budget is actually going to guide you to that anyway. Because that's going to be your budget is actually going to be your target.
Do you think it's easier to run a business on your own or with partners?
Look, to begin with, I found it quite difficult when Cherie joined me, okay, because I was so used to making my own decisions and I didn't have to communicate and I wasn't communicating enough in the beginning. So we had this all the time, okay. But now we've got used to each other and we know each other's thinking. We don't have necessarily a weekly meeting because we live together in the same house. So we talk all the time, okay? And if we come across something good, I write it in the book and we'll handle it accordingly, all right? But if there's 3 of you already, all right, you need to have your daily or your weekly or even daily and weekly and monthly meeting, okay, to make sure you're still on track and you're all on the same page. Because remember, you're all individuals.
Because my thinking was, back in, like, during school, I wanted to try and get this business up and going, but because of school, it was harder. Then my thinking behind bringing in my Anton and Kyle, my 2 friends, is because to do everything by myself, it's a lot of work in the long run. Because let's say I get 3 orders of 10 knives. Now, me and I've got a lot of time. Now, I was thinking it's a lot easier then, because then I've got the partners, and it's a lot easier to make decisions. That's what I was thinking. Do you think it is easier to make decisions with partners, or?
I think if everybody knows their function and their responsibilities, to come to mutual decisions is easy if you trust each other.
It also gives you different points of view. Yeah. Though,
you do. It's important. But you see, I didn't have that problem. I would bounce stuff off Brian. I would bounce stuff off my son. I can bounce off anybody I trust. Okay, but the 3 of you are in this together, which is great. I have no problem with that, but you need to set your boundaries. Everybody needs to know what they're accountable for. You need to have your goals, and you need to have the sign-off of that. Okay, now there are implications to partnership if somebody dies and stuff. And there's another word, for the life of me, I just can't think of it. You don't have to have a partnership, but you can have the same thing, but it's called something else. I can't think of the word. Cherie might think of the word. So before you rush into we're partners, get that sorted. Because the minute things go hard and tough, and they are at times, there's going to come differences of opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to have that somebody can't just bum out now because you're in a bum spot. They're still accountable.
Yeah. When there are differences of opinion, how would you sort that out?
Very easily. Okay. You decide, okay, Kyle, you're saying this, and you list a few words, bullet points. You put a bullet, dush, 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 5 words or however many it takes. Then you say, Hunter, dush, 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 next to it in this column. Then you say, Ayrton, dush, 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 in this column. Jason, whatever. You've got these 4 columns of bullet points. Then you look at those words that you've put down there and you cross out the same words. Okay? And eventually, after you've crossed that out, you'll find that there's probably 2 words left that you need to talk about.
Okay. So find the things that stand out that is different from what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. There will be 2 things left, very seldom more than 2 things left. And those are the things you talk about. You don't talk about the things that you agree on.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I'm saying, okay, this in our this year's budget, we want to budget for a kiln, we want to budget for a better welding machine, we want to do this, this, and this, and this, and I've listed the things, and then Ayrton comes along and says, no, I don't think that that's good. We need to look at this machine and that machine. Okay, so now he's got a few different words, but he might also have mentioned in his talk that the welding machines that you mentioned were right. Okay, then the same. There will always be points from that expression that they're expressing that you can put down a keyword and cross out the keywords, and it will leave you with what you need to discuss. Okay, and that's another reason why everybody has their role. Each person has a vote at the end of the day. Okay, you're an odd number, so voting is easy. If there were 4 of you, voting's not so easy. Then you need to have a policy in place that the chairman or the CEO or whoever has the casting vote.
Okay.
It seems that everything is coming down to your role in the business.
Comes down to?
The role in the business that you do.
Absolutely. Well, of course it does.
Yeah.
How else does a business run if everybody doesn't know what they're doing?
Yeah. So basically, back on the last question that we were asked, let's go to the decision making. So if it has to do with, because I'm running the financial department basically for now, if it comes to a high price or risk with financial, do you think I should have more say?
No. If you're 3 partners, you're 3 partners. Yeah. If you hold 70% and they only hold 15 and 15, then you do.
Okay.
But in your policy of what you're doing, okay, as an agreement in your partnership, you could say that if it comes down to, then I have 2 votes because I'm the bigger shareholder. But you can't just assume because you're the bigger shareholder that you've got more votes. It needs to be put down so there's no arguments. The minute there's a discrepancy, you've got to have the document that says, no, we agreed on this in the beginning.
Okay.
That's it. Then there's no arguing.
We have a lot to talk about tonight.
Okay? It's not, you know what? Necessity triumphs ethics. Every time. As soon as the poo hits the fan, doesn't matter, I've been your friend for 20 years, I'm going to make my stand. Please understand that. And it doesn't matter if it's a family member or a friend or whatever. It makes no difference.
So
that's what happens.
Learn to separate personal endeavors to the good of the business.
No. What you've got to learn to do is have the right rules in place. So when anybody wants to cop out, they can't.
Personally, but I'm saying because we're all friends in this thing, but we're also business partners.
So
we need to learn to separate our, take the friendship out of it in a way.
Oh, no, you have to.
Yeah.
No, business is business. But that's why you need the policies. That's why you need the budget. That's why you need the documents. That's why you all need to be on the same page with how you think about business.
Okay.
But it's the documents at the end of the day, that sign off, that is going to save your bacon. Each one of you. You understand that? Because friends will not be friends when the poo hits the fan in business. Yeah. I want to tell you that. It's a fact. It's a fact.
That's why we need to separate the friend thing from the business.
But you're going to be there together and you are friends.
Yeah, well, just
so you're going to enjoy having the music on at 29,000 decibels and partying while you work. Okay. Right. But you might not enjoy that the aircon is on 24 when it's too hot on a hot day or whatever. So in your policy, it says the aircon for the office block is douche. There's no arguing. So that's the aircon. That's what has the health and safety says that we can have it on 19.
There's a policy for the aircon.
Okay. No, it's included in your it's included in your policies.
Now, because we just started, what do you suggest we our first payment, like the first thing we buy as a company invest in? So like, would you think document like files to keep the documents, or
you can go digital as well?
Yeah, right. Or get computers per person, or what do you think?
Right. Now I want you to go away and think about that, and then call me. Okay.
It's all dependent on the type of business.
No, I want you to go away and I want you to think about that, because that is a prioritization answer. Okay? And that is versus financial.
Okay.
Priority versus financial. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to think about that. Okay. All right. Okay, so what I would all say is do your part in controlling the money in and out, each one of you. Okay, and you will be respected for that, definitely. In the workplace is your workplace. It's your worker's workplace. It's your office workplace. It's your every workplace. It's the workplace. So in that workplace, we need to have respect. I respect and we respect. There's no differentiating of people by their color. There's no talking about those kind of things. We're going to show emotional intelligence, which is one of the courses that you should really, really do as partners. It will help you in life. Okay, consistency is key. Consistency comes from what?
Communication.
Frequent communication. Also?
Practice.
Okay.
You've got to practice it to get consistent to it. I feel really dumb right now. So we can make this.
Consistency is key. Doing it right the first time, doing it the same standard all the time is key. Okay, so if you're budgeting, the same format and you're looking at history and you're looking at the future and you're making all these good decisions. If you're doing a process, the process is followed 100% all of the time. That's what brings the foundations into the workplace. Your processes and your procedures. You've got a job to do. This is how you do it. Dush. There's the document. There's the sign off. That becomes your measuring tool, especially in this country. We have laws that tell us that we can't just fire people. Okay, you've got to work with that. Okay, and that goes for partners too. Can't just fire a partner.
Then you got to buy them out.
If he wants to sell. I might be angry and not want to sell. Then you sit with the problem.
Because consistency is doing this thing the same way every time.
It's doing this thing to the right standard and in the right timeline every time.
If that proves to be ineffective, would you then feel okay to change?
Yes, absolutely. It's a working document. Okay. Processes are working documents, especially with technology as it is today. Okay. Before your hand gets tired.
Because with the financial side of things, on my phone I've got Excel and I did a whole plan and spreadsheet for what we're doing and budget monitor. But now with like our quote system, I thought it would be a lot better if we go more professional, even from word go. Because I know that as young people starting a business, if we start off with, like if we don't give out quotes, if people need quotes for the money that's going to cost, and it's not like at professional standards now, it won't stay that way the entire time.
Well, you won't get any customers, dear.
People
want proper people.
Based on the record of quotes.
Okay, they want to see a quote. I wouldn't buy anything from you without a quote.
Yeah.
I might say a verbal quote and we handshake on it. It's a bit dangerous this day and age because people are not trustworthy. But you could send me a WhatsApp and say, Sean, I've worked it out. It's going to cost you so much. And then I'll WhatsApp back and say, great, go ahead. Then you've now got, because you can export that discussion into Excel.
Like with the whole
or a Word document. It exports and you save it. That's your agreement.
Then with your thing, the set out, is that more important?
Yes, it is, because it must depict who you are. Do you think my business card looks like who I am?
I was going to ask about where you get it done and what your tips and on it.
Okay, but I think we must save that for another session. Okay, but I want to finish this session so that you get your foundations, because all these things are in those components somewhere.
Okay.
So your business card falls under marketing.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we trying to depict? That's what marketing is all about.
Okay.
So if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's a fact. So all those little bits of planning that you're doing, good for you. Okay, and then we need to look at it. Cherie's a good strategic planner. It would pay you to spend a little bit of money and spend some time with her and let her look at it for you.
Is there a way to make one's word effective again?
To make one's what?
Word effective.
Personally, from personal experience, I don't think so. Once you've broken that trust, I find it hard to trust you. I might give you a second chance, but I won't be comfortable with it. There will always be that little thing.
Yeah, a little doubt.
Mm. It's the same in a marriage, it's the same in a relationship.
Mm.
Same with service providers. That's why your boundaries need to be in place. Those things that are saying, this is what you're responsible for, this is what I'm responsible for, this is what I've ordered from you, this is what you've quoted me, which covers everything I've ordered from you, and we agree and we sign it off. That's where we want to be all the time. Because Murphy's Law, you know Murphy's Law?
Yeah.
Murphy's Law says, what happened you planned for is going to happen.
Okay.
Okay, so the workplace is about time, and your whole business life is about how you manage that time. Okay, so you want to plan to make time your partner and not your opponent. So the minute your time becomes your opponent, you're in a very bad spot and you're going to screw up badly. Right, so you've got to schedule your time, you've got to plan your time. You've got to know, I know how many minutes it takes me to produce a flow chart. Doesn't matter the topic. I know how many hours it takes me to produce a manual for somebody of 100 pages. I know all these things, because that's my job. Okay, and time is money. I can't cost out my time or give a quote if I don't know how long it's going to take. Because time is money. Okay, so never forget that. Punctuality is important. I find with the younger generation, generally speaking, time's not hell of important to them. They'll come 5 minutes late into a Zoom session. Well, that'll be the last time they come 5 minutes late into the Zoom session without a good reason. Okay, because you're not being respectful to me. Even though I'm the service provider, it's costing me time. Okay, I could have come in at 10 past and done 5 other jobs while waiting for you to come in 10 minutes late. Do you understand? It's not being respectful. Okay, so being punctual is showing respect for the service provider or for the customer or for the whatever. It's showing that you respect that they've taken the time out to do whatever it is they're doing with you. Okay, same with your family. Respect the time with your family.
What does punctual mean?
On the dot.
Yeah,
beforehand. So if I'm supposed to start work at 8 o'clock, I'm actually at work at 7:45. I've changed into my uniform, I've had my cup of coffee, and I'm at my desk and I've started at 7:45. Punctual. Okay? Punctuality. Now you guys are talking professionalism. That is a number one sign of professionalism.
Punctuality.
Okay. Sticking to the time. Okay. Right. And then equipment. This is the interesting thing. People don't care about equipment. They just leave it lying around. They don't clean it. They don't service it. They break it. They lose it. They do everything. Okay? What does it say? This equipment pays your salary. Take care of it. If that is not motivation enough to take care of the tools that you're using or the resources that you're using in your job, whether you're working for somebody else or your own business, then you're in a very sick spot. And you're not going to have a successful life. Because the minute you lose my tool, ask my gardener. I'm furious with him. He's just lucky he's getting a second chance. He lost the hedge clippers. Okay. I want you to understand that. That's all you need to know.
It pays your salary.
It's paying your salary. Maintain it. Use it correctly. Use it wisely. Don't lose it. Don't break it. Don't have to repair it just because you didn't maintain it. Okay. I hope you're getting it, boys. Okay. The team. Number one word. This has been my word since I started training, care. If I care about myself, I'm going to care about everything else is taken care of. I'll care about how I treat my customer. I'll care about how I do my job. I'll care about how I relate to the people in my workplace. I'll care about paying my bills. I'll care about smelling nice and fresh and coming to the workplace clean because I care about who I am. Okay, so there's one time that you can actually love yourself. And care about yourself. Be the best that you can be. Okay, so it's all about care. I don't know if I would trust people to do hold me over a bridge like that, but anyway, it is about care. We have three words this year, by the way. Care, think, deliberate. Because if you're not deliberate, nothing's going to happen. You understand that, eh? I'm sure you've experienced that with COVID. Okay, everybody's experienced that. So we have those three words. All right, the team needs to think sustainable business. They need to be on the same page about what's important in your business that needs to be important to them. There's a very nice song that a Christian group sing that I love, and it says, if it matters to you, it matters to the master. Okay, as a Christian, that's got huge meaning for me. But it's the same in the workplace. If it matters to you, and it matters to them. If it matters to them, it should matter to you. Okay. It's a two-way street having people work for you, everybody. It's not a one-sided thing. It's a two-way street. And it takes care, thought, and deliberation for it to work together. Okay. Value your job. Value what it is that you do and are getting paid to do. I'm just saying value it. Because when it's taken away from you, it's a big loss. It's a big shock. It's a huge, huge shock. Okay, if you can get your workforce or your team to understand that they need to value, you're going to have a lot less problems with them. But you're going to have a lot less problems with them because you care about them. Okay, you're going to do your best for them. You can't do it on your own. Just bear that in mind. So if you have people working for you, treat them with respect. Care about them. Okay, what does the business sell? This is your service or your product. And there's a few things we've touched on a little bit. The product needs to be unique. The product needs to be at a good price. The product needs to be of high standard consistently. And the product needs to be better than everybody else's. Okay, now you've got a creative streak there, so you are going to be different to everybody else's, which is quite a big plus, okay? But it has to be really good, right? Because I might just take a less expensive version that would work for me, might not be the Rolls Royce that I want. So you're going to have to work that out, okay? That's why I'm saying your research, so important. who's doing the same as what you want to do. Where are they? How are they? What are they doing? How much are their prices? All of those things. Okay. You need to be convinced, and it must be part of who you are, this product you're selling. Okay. I love teaching people. I like to see them grow. I love to hear their thoughts. So for me, I'm living that all the time, everywhere I go. I'm even asked, if I park at a place, Cherie was facilitating in Pietermaritzburg, and I had to sit for an hour, and there was a guy watering the garden there. I said, so what's your 5-year plan? What do you mean? I said, well, where do you want to be in 5 years? Have you got a dream? Haven't you got something you want to achieve in 5 years? Or do you just want to still be gardener here? Oh, that promoted a whole hour's discussion. Something he never heard before. Okay, because that's because I love the topic. I love to see people grow. I love to see people succeed. Okay, so you need to be very sure that you have the product that you have is in your heart. Because the minute it's not, you're not going to be able to sell it. Doesn't matter how good your adverts are. You need to be convinced that yours is the best. Okay. Right, marketing and sales. What's the difference between marketing and sales?
Sales is the actual selling of the product, and marketing is how you portray your product to your audience.
Okay, promoting it. Yeah, good answer. So again, it goes back to looking, where's the best place to sell your product? Okay, if I want to get the workforces, say the sawmills, I want to sell them something when they arrive at work that's cheap, but it'll give them a little bit of a boost, and they'll pay me cash on their way in. Am I going to sell that product if I'm sitting down on the freeway where people come off the freeway to go to work? No, I need to be selling it at the gate. Okay, so my position, where am I going to sell that? What venue? Okay, what price? All of those things that I've told you to research belong to the sales and marketing. How am I going to make it happen? How are we going to take photos of this to put it online? Okay, and we're not thinking about just putting a classy girl there just because girls sell. That's not caring. Okay. And you'll hear from me when I see it. All right. Okay, so marketing and sales go together. The one promotes the end result. The sale is the end result. The marketing is promoting that to get the end result. So whatever it is you do, you want to have a good result in the end, a positive result. Now, marketing our kind of stuff is quite hard. Okay, how do you market something that's not tangible? You can't feel it or touch it or pull it or pinch it. Okay, you've got to just accept the person's word. It's very hard. So for us, word of mouth is the way for us that works really well. So you need to get on and follow us, please. Shankar Training and Consulting. And support us if you like what we do. And get it out there for us, because we'll do the same for you. That's called networking. Okay. Also, you need to think about technology with your marketing and sales. You need to think about... I heard a very good thing the other day, and I've been trying to think about how we could do that, but it says you want the customer in the palm of your hand. It's an interesting thought. You want the customer. They were particularly talking about an app, okay? So you want the customer in your palm of your hand. And your generation, that's where you want everything, on your phone, isn't it? So, how are you going to make it happen? That's important. Customer service. It's not the employer who pays the wages. Employers only handle the money. It is the customer who pays your wages. So what does this make our customer?
Important.
King. Richard Branson, you know Virgin? He would disagree. He says his staff are number one. Because if his staff are happy, they're going to look after the customer. Okay. But at the end of the day, the customer is still king. Because if you can't get the customer to stay, you've got a problem. Okay. The customer is not always right, but the customer is always right. Okay. Yes. So when we do customer service one day, we'll learn how to handle these few things. Yeah. Okay. But customer service is going to be important. You're going to do it on time. If you've given them a date, you're going to produce it on that date. And if you are not going to be able to reach that date, you're going to communicate that in advance and say. And we're not telling a lie or a story of why we're not achieving. We're not making it the customer's problem. We are just going to apologize and say there has been a delay. Depending on how terrible the delay is, you might need to elaborate a little bit. Okay. Now, COVID has brought about a thing. People can't do their jobs because there was no exporting of iron or steel from overseas to South Africa for quite a long period of time. People didn't have enough stock in place. So although we've been allowed to go back to work, we can't do any work because we can't get the steel in to be able to do it, or the steel is still taking time to come, or whatever. So COVID has been an eye-opener for many people, but COVID shouldn't be the excuse. Understand? I should have actually said to my customers well in advance, we've delayed due to COVID, but we have success in attaining. It will be here by this time. Give them something to work with. Don't lie. Don't lie. Ever lie, because it'll catch you. Seriously, it will.
Like, we recently had an issue where we ran out of coal, and no one has coal because we don't have, the suppliers aren't giving to the company. Luckily, we found a guy who's literally got like 5 bags left.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
So, if you've got the right measurement tools in place in your whole organization, in every component, you've got the right tools, and you're measuring in every component the critical points of that component, you'll do just fine. The minute you don't measure, you're in the poo. Okay. Right. Customer service is a big thing, eh? No customers means no business. No business means no work for people. Your responsibility is big. Communication is passing information and ensuring mutual understanding has been achieved. It has to be strong, guys. It needs to be very strong. You should, as partners, be free enough to say what you want to say without a big fight. Okay, and emotional intelligence will help you deal with that. There's a very simple 5 steps to deal with that. Okay, competitors, you need to make sure your customers... where you need to take your customers where your competitors have never been. I want you to really think about that. Okay, so what are you going to give your customers that's a value add? That's an interesting phrase, value add. What is going to be the customer's value add with your product? Okay, think about and understand everything that happens in the business. You win or you lose by the way you choose. So decide to decide right. Be valuable to the business. As partners, be valuable to the business. As an employee, be valuable to the business. At the end of the day, you want it to be sustainable. Any questions? I think we've gone over a little bit of time, but I think it was good for you. Okay.
I never thought I'd learn that much in so little
amount of time. I know. I'm clever.
Yes, you are.
That's one of our unique selling points, is that we are able to impart knowledge quickly at the right level.
We've got a lot to work out to know.
Okay, now I've just given you a quick overview here. Yeah. This is not going into the nitty-gritties. So do your planning and everything. Prioritize your money now, okay? Get the education that you need. Okay, and look at the sessions that we've got. And I really would recommend when you've got, things together, that you have a strategic planning session with Cherie. We've got an hourly rate. And you can either do it like here or Zoom. But I would say just, even if you just go an hour at a time and let her say, okay, you need to tweak here or you need to think about this. Okay.
How would you recommend going about processing all this information?
With a plan.
A plan.
A project plan.
Okay.
You know how to do project planning?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You have main categories.
Yeah.
And then you roll in the little things that need to be done under that main category. You have a responsible person for each activity, and you have a timeline, and you have a sign-off when it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you plan that. And that comes to prioritizing, which is your homework. You've got to go back and prioritize what you think is important to do first.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Well, lovely to meet you, and I hope we're going to see you again.
Yeah.
And you've put your email addresses?
Just the business one.
Okay, well, I'll WhatsApp you our price lists. We've done it in 5 different sections, okay? So there's consulting, and there's coaching and mentoring. There's retainer, which is not of interest to you, but I'll send it to you anyway. And then there's training, and then there's... whatever the fifth one is. We've done them in separate little pages. I'll WhatsApp it to you and then look at the consulting price and prioritize it to get you started well. And then you can put your plan together and then periodically you can just check in with us and say, okay, this is where we are, this is what we've done. And we can just keep directing you to begin with.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool.
If we have any questions later on during the week, if we just phone and...
I'm just going to drop you now and say no. It's not part of my contact. Of course you can. Any course that we hold, it doesn't matter whether it's 1 hour or 5 hours or 2 days, you get a month's recall to come back to us via WhatsApp or email.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall we write down the moment?
And I won't be doing the work for you either.
Awesome.
But I will guide you.
Thank you.
Okay, but I will get you thinking too. I'll say, no, go away and think about that. So don't be offended when I do that. If I think it's something you should have already thought about because of your age and your understanding, then I will tell you, no, go and think about it and then come back. Okay. Cool. What's the matter? Yeah, just outside the door here. Just outside the door.